Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
Of all the flights I've ever been on, and you guys know how much I love to travel. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of flights, right? It's the only thing I ever really wanted to do. I actually have never, ever, ever once seen anybody use that puke bag on a flight. Not once. Have you guys?
I don't think I have.
No.
I mean, I think they put it back there back in the day, which seemed like a good idea.
The vomit pouch.
Yeah. Right? The only thing I would really use it for is like when I'm chewing gum and I don't have anywhere to put it and I might rip a little off and put it in there, but never seen anybody puke in there. So I'm only mentioning this because Mo got sick on a plane last week.
It was me. I was the guy. And I've never seen anyone use it either. And I certainly never thought I would be the guy who needed to use it. And I didn't even know planes still had them. But God they do. So I don't know if you guys know this about me. I may have mentioned it before, but I have somewhat of a history of just passing out randomly. I don't know why.
What?
Yeah, you've told us that. Yeah,
I think I have before. Like, I'm sure it has something to do with my heart, but it's never truly been, like, told me. Like, I don't have the reasoning. I passed out in church once, and all of the churchgoers were like, oh, that's the devil on your chest, baby. So I just ran with that. Like, I guess that's what it is. But it's happened to me.
Or a heart condition.
Or that, right?
Before we even get into the bag, where are the other places that you've just passed out like that fainting goat?
I've passed out on a stage before. There was a rapper named Cassidy asked me to come on stage and do a song with him. I passed out in the middle of the song and ended up having to be carried off of the stage at a concert.
Ooh.
Passed out on vacation before, just in the room randomly, just looked at the bed and next thing I know, I woke up on it. Don't remember what happened in between. I passed out a few places. Those are the ones that come to the top of my head. Oh, college basketball game. I was a spectator, just watching the game, passed out. And I always have probably 5 seconds of knowing it's about to happen.
Uh-huh.
So normally I'm with someone, which luckily I've never been alone. And I always look at them and go, sometimes they don't even know. Like they don't know my history in this. But I'll look at them and go, listen, I'm going to pass out in about 5 seconds. Just hold on to me and make sure I don't hit my head. I'll be right back. That is literally how it goes.
I'll be right back.
Like, BRB. Yeah, don't panic.
Save my place.
Exactly.
I have never been happier that you don't drive a car now.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
So it hasn't happened to me in years. It's been a while. So it's not even like top of mind for me anymore. And here we go. I get on this flight. And I was tired, but it wasn't, like, that bad. Anything that I felt like I needed to worry about. And I'm getting on a flight, coming back from celebrating my dad's birthday. Don't feel any kind of sick. I feel fine. Don't think nothing is wrong with me. We get on the flight, and for some reason, I started to feel this, this really full feeling in my stomach. And I hadn't ate. I wasn't drinking that day, so I wasn't sure where this was coming from. But I certainly felt like something's not right. And luckily, I'm in, like, the road as a two-seater, and it's just me and my lady. So it's just us.
Oh, you're with your lady.
Yeah, I made it worse.
Oh, you're with your lady.
So that's going to make the story funny in a second because I had a decision to make, right?
Well, women say that they love to see a guy vulnerable. So you passing out and lifeless might have been a real turn-on.
I don't think there's a bigger ick than being with your man and, like, you know, if you got to use the vomit bag on a plane.
It's not sexy.
No.
It's not giving sexy. And so when I felt this feeling coming, that was the decision I had to make because I felt like it would have been helpful if she knew I was going through this. But she was sleeping and she had not got a lot of sleep. So I said, I think I'm going to throw up. Like, I'm pretty sure. And then as soon as I got that thought, it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to make it to the bathroom.
You, like, start getting that extra saliva,
yes,
in your mouth.
I'm like, oh, it's here. Like, we're yes, here. Out of nowhere. So now I start digging for the bag because I don't think I'm going to make it to the bathroom.
And now more anxiety takes over when you feel that happening too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I should wake her up. Nah, she doesn't need to see this.
No, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let me handle this on my own.
Good call.
Yeah, I don't even want her to know that this is happening.
I'd rather die than have her see this.
Absolutely.
There's only one thing worse than throwing up, and that's having to throw up in public in front of other people. Because you got somebody literally a foot away from you. Because I'm assuming you're in an aisle seat.
Right, yep.
So you got somebody a foot away from you that's about to see you vomit into a bag.
Well, you're thinking about, I mean, it's not only bad for the person next to you, but there are very few places that are worse than that to throw up, because that smell is trapped in that plane, man. So if you've ever been on a flight with a kid that's thrown up or something like that, and it happened in 7B, you can smell it in 27C.
Tell me about it.
Yes.
So I go and I shuffle to find the bag, and then I go into a panic because my seat didn't have one.
Oh, no.
So thank God something told me check hers before you try to make it to the bathroom. And I did. And her seat did have one. So I pull the bag out. And I'm talking like just in time, because you got to like unfold it a little bit and pop it open.
Yep.
And as soon as I pop it open, it just comes out. Like it's going down.
You really did vomit,
did I? Yeah, I probably got the record for amount of vomit on a plane.
So what do? You just put it up to your lips like you're almost like breathing into a bag when you're hyperventilating?
Exactly that.
So nothing gets out of there.
And then I remember I vomited, but then it got real because I had the feeling of I'm about to pass out. And it all happened simultaneously.
Damn.
So I vomit in the bag.
You can't pass out while you're holding the vomit bag.
Well, that's the thing. You don't really have a choice. So I said, I'm about to pass out. And by the time I can feel it, it's here. Like, it's nothing I can do. And all I can really remember is holding the bag, like, as tight as I could. Because it's all in the bag. Yeah. Like, all I had to do was go to the bathroom with the bag, flush the bag.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever know this happened in my life. Like, I planned on telling no one. But I pass out with it in my hand. And when I wake up,
no.
I don't know if y'all ever saw how like Mike Tyson was trying to find his mouthpiece after he got knocked out by but he couldn't find it because he wasn't all the way. That's me trying to find the vomit bag. I no longer know where the vomit bag is. I'm still out of it, so I can't come to my senses to just grab it, but I'm fighting. I'm like fighting for my life, but I also don't want to die in a pile of vomit. So I'm like, if I gotta go, at least let me hold on to the vomit bag.
That is vanity at its best.
Yo, your lady wake up and you dead in vomit. That's just that's not the way.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
So thank God, like some of it stayed in the bag. Some of it found its way onto the carpet, man. So now I'm like, what do I do now? Because I don't want to ask for help cleaning up. So I wake up the whole time. She's still asleep. I take what's in the bag to the bathroom. I grab as many napkins as I can. I asked if they had like some kind of Lysol wipes with them. She was like, yeah, but what do you need? I said, no, don't worry about it. I just need the wipes. I got this. Don't worry about it. And she's like, okay. So I take the wipes. I got to cleaning. I didn't want anybody to have to clean that up after me. So I did what I had to do. I wiped the floor down. Some of it got on my sneakers. I had to wipe that off.
Oh, as a sneakerhead, that's the biggest tragedy of this whole story.
I had some good ones on too. I wasn't happy about it. But I ended up cleaning it up to the point where you couldn't see it. It's gone. Like, you'll never know it happened.
But can you smell it?
Oh, you know I can.
Oh,
so every time the lady came over, it was like, do you guys need? I'm like, no. Please get away from us. I can't tell if her face changed or if it didn't because she smelled it. I couldn't tell.
How much of the flight did you have left?
About an hour and a half.
Oh
no.
Just sitting in it.
No.
Just sitting in it.
So when your lady wakes up, does she know anything happened at all?
Or? I saw it, like, go over her face. I saw the moment. And she woke up and looked at me, and she's like, hey. I'm like, hey. And then she makes this face like, ew. Do you smell that? Like, absolutely not.
The Burt Show.
Hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
Mo, you were talking about this last week. It's this big story with J. Cole where he's ready to apologize for the diss tracks he's put out. He's like, you know what? I feel really bad. It's not sitting right with my spirit. And now Drake has supposedly put out a diss track in response to Kendrick Lamar.
Can I sidebar here for just 30 seconds?
Yes.
All right, because Mo is telling us last week, and we had this conversation that in Mo's world and in the hip-hop world and in the culture, this is the only thing anybody was talking about, right?
100%.
And I confessed last week that my algorithm is racist. I did not see it at all. I hadn't even heard about it, right? So this is going to be really weird. I went with my son to rent a tux for prom this weekend, and the guy that was helping us out, the salesperson, was black, right? And I thought in the back of my head, I'm going to test Mo's theory out. So I start talking to Hollis about J. Cole, but I was really doing it just to see if the dude would know what I was talking about, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he jumped right in. Hollis!
fellas didn't have any idea, but the salesperson was all up there.
He probably couldn't wait for somebody to ask him about it.
I wasn't even asking him about it. I was telling Hollis about it just to see if he would include himself in the conversation. Boy, did he!
That's all we talked about at my dad's party. That's all anybody that's a hip-hop fan is talking about.
Yeah, so Kendrick Lamar had a diss track featured basically like taking shots at Drake. And so now there was one from Drake that leaked online on social media on Saturday, and people are like, is this Drake or is it AI? And to me, it sounds very legit. He throws a lot of shade at Kendrick for being on some pop tracks. He throws a little shade at him being on a Taylor Swift track and basically just disses him on this track that people are trying to figure out is AI or not.
The way you doing splits, boy, your pants might rip. You better do that motherfucking show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse, you better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say drop, you better drop and give them 50. Pip squeak, pipe down, you ain't in no big three. SZA got you wiped down, Travis got you wiped down, Savage got you wiped down. Like your label, boy, you in a scope right now.
Damn. Ooh. That's good. If that's AI, Drake can retire.
That's the best diss track we've heard thus far.
I believe so, too. And yes, you're right in that. If this is AI, it's over for hip-hop. You don't even need artists anymore because in my mind, the record was that good. There were a lot of people saying that they felt like it was light, but I also think there were people who didn't truly understand a lot of the double entendres or what Drake was saying. But he called the song Push-Ups and told Kendrick to drop and give me 50 because Kendrick's label, Top Dog, takes 50% of everything he makes when he drops.
Oh.
So that's why he called it push-ups, and Kendrick is known for posting videos of himself doing push-ups. So everything that Drake is saying, there was double entendres in there, and he attacked pretty much everybody who attacked him.
Okay, so did he go after J. Cole also?
Lightly. Okay. Lightly. He had something in the end for J. Cole. He went after Rick Ross. He went after The Weeknd. He went after Metro Boomin and Future. He went after everybody who was taking shots at him.
And is this everybody who recently unfollowed him on social media too?
So it's like, that's what happened. Kendrick made a verse, and then Rick Ross came out, decided to jump against Drake, and then Future and Metro also jumped up and teamed against Drake. So he had a line on there where he's like, what is this, 20 versus 1? So he's like, he's Dranos now, in a sense.
You're so much more educated in this than I am. So in the videos that I watched over the course of the last couple of days, Drake is the one more than anybody else that gets diss tracks against him. It sounds like he's looking over his shoulders left and right all the time because people are coming after him.
You can argue that it's because he's just really on the top. And I mean, most of these guys that are dissing him, he's helped them get number one records. So it's weird to see everybody turn on him. But a lot of people say it's how he carries himself, too. It's the confidence that he has that people want to see him fail because he's always willing to throw shots at people like this.
All I can equate this to is like, this is the hip-hop version of WWE, man. I just feel like people are jumping in the ring when they're not supposed to be there, and then the champ looks around, and somebody cuts them in the eye. It's all wrestling.
And it also helps it because the rappers are feeding into it by releasing the tracks as leaks, so we don't know. Like, Drake still hasn't confirmed if it's real or if it's AI, and I think it's rappers' way of feeling it out first before they claim it, to see how they're going to react to it. So it does feel WWE-ish because you don't know what's real, what's not. It's insane right now.
If you're going to do a diss, own it.
I feel the same way. I agree. But it's changed. It's not like it used to be anymore. I don't know why.
I feel like this is a wussification of disses.
It kind of is.
Well, J. Cole started it. Wussification of rap.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
At least with the Drake one, it's kind of a smart way to do it if your theory is right. So nobody's really quite sure if it's AI or not. So if the overwhelming opinion is that this is a great track, then Drake will come out and go, okay, you guys, it was mine.
That
He's
was
just
me.
Waiting to find out what sort of tests the temperature. It's great.
That's what it is.
But even if it's AI, somebody had to have wrote it.
Yeah, not technically, no, right?
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You heard what ChatGPT did when I put
it
in.
And it sucks.
That last one didn't suck.
No.
If you put it in there, right?
It still wasn't
compared
good.
Compared to that Drake diss, they all sucked.
Yes. That was like, that's legit, which makes me feel like somebody wrote it and put it into AI, like an AI voice generator, and like got Drake to do it. But that, I would be hard-pressed to believe an AI machine was capable of doing a diss track like that.
Here's the thing about AI, though. What I found is it does suck on its own, but it gives you the nucleus of something good, and then you got to take it as a person and sort of edit what it gives you. So I wonder if it's done that.
That's very possible because that you can do. And if anything, I believe that that's what Drake and his camp might have done. But it's good. It's really good. I'm just glad. I'm happy that somebody is engaging, unlike that J. Cole guy.
Whoever he is. Uh-huh. All right, a popular TikToker is dead after her family says they don't know what happened. I'll tell you about her mysterious passing on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Kristen was telling us last week it was very concerning for her family. A valuable family member had gone missing.
Horsey. Horsey is MIA. Horsey being Jimmy's lovey. The lovey that he hand-selected as a child that he sleeps with every single night. Now, a Burt Show listener was kind enough to give me a heads up. You need to get a backup Horsey.
Yeah, that was smart. That is one of the greatest parenting tips I've ever heard in my life.
So I immediately went to Amazon, and this was actually a gift somebody had given him. So I had to do some like digging, but found the exact same horsey and got a backup. Well, there we are at Disney, the happiest place on earth. And Bart and I realized after we left and got to our next destination, which was the beach, horsey was gone.
Uh-oh.
Gone. Mm-hmm. We searched through all of our luggage, no horsey. And I'm like, we must have left it in the bed at the hotel.
Were you guys just waiting for a ransom note?
Yeah. The letters cut out of a magazine sent to us at Amelia Island. We have your horsey.
And then you would say,
Cinderella's castle at noon to get it back.
Would you say if you get that call that you have a very particular set of what's it called?
Skills.
Right, to get horsey back.
You.
Yeah.
We all know I have no skills. That's not going to happen. So I called Disney and they're like, yes, almost every place has a lost and found. Go online, fill out the form. She was going to contact housekeeping. They were going to call me back in 45 minutes. That was about a week ago. Never heard anything. However, I did get an email from Disney's Contemporary Resort. Lost item update.
Ooh.
Dear Kristen, thank you for your patience as the search for your lost item continues.
Oh.
Please be assured that the report will remain in the system, and should the item be found, you will be notified immediately.
Nobody's looking for that thing.
Not even a second.
If they just happen to find it, they happen to find it. But there's no lost and found investigation Disney team. I am guessing.
CSI
that is going through the park with like black light, spraying down powder. Man, that's not happening.
What is it? You have 24 hours or else the odds of finding him are gone forever.
48. If you don't get a lead in the first 48, then it's going to be a cold case forever.
I believe they are searching for Horsey though, because one time at Disney, I put two pairs of underwear in a laundry bag and didn't attach my room number to it at all, and it was the only underwear I had, and I frantically called and said, listen, there's a generic laundry bag with two generic pairs of laundry floating around in this hotel somewhere. There are no identifying marks on it at all, no tag, but I need it back, and they delivered it back.
I assure you that they didn't look for it. They stumbled upon it, yeah, and they found it, and they put it all together, but there is no team that is looking for your lost crap at Disney.
There is a SWAT team. There is a Disney SWAT team recovery.
Was the email written where the letters all messed up because they're trying to type with like those Mickey fingers?
Yeah.
So you couldn't even make it out?
It's a little hard to decipher, but I figured it out.
Was it in Disney font, the whole one?
No. It was in that SpongeBob SquarePants font.
All right, so we will all be waiting intently.
Yeah, with bated breath, yeah, I'm sure.
As they continue to search the park today, I'm sure.
Adios, horsey.
Every square inch. All right, our intern Caroline, interesting. She's got, you own some Airbnbs. One of them you're concerned about because your status has been suspended.
Yeah, I got suspended for 48 hours, and I don't know if I should report the guy for what he was doing. And this time it was very interesting. It was on a Sunday evening. They booked around 7 o'clock, showed up around 7:30. And banged it out for a few hours and then left.
Banged it out for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then checked out?
Checked out completely.
They had a specific need. They weren't spending the night. They just needed a few hours to get some stuff done.
She was saying, oh, God, this time.
How do you know they banged it out for a few hours?
Oh, I can hear it.
So the Airbnb is in, it's in your house.
Yeah, it's connected
to
shared, my house.
You know how they have like, you
it's
can actually get a
space.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
got it. I was like, girl, you cannot film them without their consent.
No. It's not shared at all. It's completely private. It says that on the listing, but it's connected to our house. So we can hear everything. So,
and you've told us this before, that people will come in on into the Airbnbs and they're using it for their side pieces, and then they check out a couple of minutes later when he's done, and then you never see him again.
They love it. And this time it was interesting because...
You have a legal whorehouse.
I do. I do. I really, really do.
You're
oh, my gosh. That's the best way of putting it.
She's so excited and enthusiastic about this.
There's some whores in her house.
But this time, they left. They showed up around 7, left at 9:51.
Is this a couple that has been there before?
No.
No, this is new.
Never.
All right. Word's getting around. Word's getting around.
Brand new couple. So they showed up, bang it out, leave, and they're gone all night long. Well, me being here as an intern, I have to be here pretty dang early. So when I left my house that morning, they were still not there. They had come back at 6:09, and my husband and I didn't think to check the cameras. And our son asked if we could, if he could go in there because he likes to go in there and play. Oh. And my son, my husband said yes, not knowing they had come back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
So my son opened the door for like 2.5 seconds and the guy said, excuse me. And my son shut the door immediately. My husband said, I'm sorry. And they left like within 3 minutes, like within 3 to 5 minutes, they were gone out of our house. 30 minutes later, we get a message from Airbnb saying our account had been suspended for 48 hours because of a safety violation.
So this dude reported you that mm-hmm. somebody came into the house while he was doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I mean, technically, they had it rented till when?
Till 10 o'clock that morning. Right.
And so, so I mean, he's got a case.
He was,
he had a case. And we explained to them what happened and this, that, and the other. And it just... It scared me a lot because we had never had anything like this happen before. And quite frankly, like, it just freaked me out. It really, really freaked me out because this is our source of income and how we make money. And when it was, so we couldn't get any bookings for 48 hours. They looked into it and they said, if it happens again, you will be off the platform because it says specifically in the rules that if you realize there are human trafficking things going on, you can report it. So I was in the boat, like, do I tell Airbnb, like, I know what you're doing.
But that's not really human trafficking that's going on in there.
Even though I got video of her or him giving her money on the camera.
That's you don't know what that's for.
You don't know what the money's for.
Prostitution, trafficking. Now, those are two different things.
Yeah, So I just didn't know whether or not I should say anything or not, but they came back and said it was all fine. Found us.
Well, I mean, I can't blame them, to be honest with you. That sucks for your kid to get startled like that. But at the end of the day, they had the place until 10 o'clock. So it sounds like it was handled by the book.
It was. It was so scary to think that we could be taken off that platform over something small.
Sure.
It freaks me out.
Sure.
And just don't have any more sex in my Airbnb, please.
That's never going to happen.
You want to put that under the rules and regulations? Make sure you load the dishwasher and you don't bone.
Okay.
You will never have anybody renting there ever again.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on The Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
The Burt Show.
I'll admit it, I'm kind of a judgmental a-hole sometimes at the airport.
Like, I mean, it happens to the best of us.
If I see dogs, people walking their dogs in the airport, if they don't have that little vest that says emotional support dog, I just assume that you've lied to the airline and you want to bring your dog with you on your vacation.
Well, haven't they cracked down on that stuff, though?
I don't know.
They were. I thought I read that the airlines were cracking down on it because people were taking advantage of the situation because it wasn't just dogs. They were bringing like emotional support peacocks. Right.
I mean, it's happening so often now that they actually have like dog release your poop areas at airports now, right? And I just automatically, I guess I'm starting to assume the worst in people now. Right? I'm like, oh, man, you don't need that English bulldog.
Yeah, but if you're traveling somewhere and you need your dog to go with you, and if you have a well-behaved dog, I don't have a problem with bringing your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of these dogs, a lot more well-behaved than some of these people that have been flying lately.
100%. It doesn't affect my life at all. It doesn't. So I know that I'm being judgmental. However, if you've gone through this process now where you're trying to lie to the airline to get your dog to go on flights and go with you, you don't have to do that anymore. Except that's going to cost you a whole bunch of money. There is a new airline. I'm not kidding. This is not a joke, called Bark Airline. It says that you can bring your dog. Now, it's an option for dogs traveling with their human companions. There are now flights between New York, L.A., London also. They start on May 23rd. But here's the catch. It's $8,000 one way.
What?
$8,000 one way.
That's insane.
You can bring your dog on the flight. So I think it's dogs and people on these flights. And I don't think they're down. I think they're all hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it says, the main cabin and stuff.
Really?
Which would be a blast.
It says during the flight, dogs will receive treats and dog anxiety blankets.
Aww.
I'm not mad at it. The only problem is my dog would have to pay for it.
$8,000, right? Ooh. One way.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have $16,000, you better be delivering your dog somewhere.
Not coming back.
All right. So the email is, she's wondering if she is being an a-hole here because a friend needs some help while she's moving to a new city. Her friend could help her out. Now she's wondering, do I really want her in the house or not? Abby's got the email.
Hi, Bird Show. I'm a listener of the podcast from Chicago. I've been listening for years now, and I want to thank you guys for getting me through some tough times. Now, please help me. Here's the problem. My friend lives in Las Vegas, but wants to come home to Chicago and has been telling people she is going to stay with me for a few months until she, quote, gets on her feet. The issue is, I was never asked about this. Does she plan to just show up at my doorstep with her bags and her two kids? Am I supposed to just open my home randomly because I'm not even sure of when she plans to make the move? It could be tomorrow for all I know. She has always been one of those friends that always needs help, but burns bridges as well. Her children's dads have already stated that she cannot, under any circumstances, be allowed to move in with either of them. She's also not on speaking terms with her mother. So when she comes home, she really won't have anywhere to go. I'm a single woman that lives in a two-bedroom apartment with my three cats and the occasional overnight guest. Will I be the a-hole if I tell her she cannot stay with me and that she's going to have to figure it out? I don't want the children to suffer, but I also don't want to change my entire lifestyle for a few months. Any advice from you and your listeners would be amazing. Please help.
All right, so If this was you and you hear this information from multiple friends that this is what she's telling people, now that you are privy to this information, do you just sit on it and wait for her to come to you? Or do you go ahead and be like, hey, some of our friends are saying this. Is that your plan? Did you plan on asking me if that was cool?
I think we're talking about two particular different kinds of friends. For instance, if you and I, Kristen, lived in different cities, right? And you were coming to my city and you needed a place to crash.
With Jimmy.
With Jimmy also, right? A couple of months is a little long. but I think if you assumed that you were going to stay with me and told friends that you were going to stay with me, because we're so close, it wouldn't offend me. I would assume that if you were coming to my city and you needed help, you would come to me. So if you told a couple of friends before you actually got it to me, that sounds very much like Kristen.
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't be offended at all. I would know that you were going to hit me up at some point, and I would just assume you were staying with me. It wouldn't offend me at all.
I'm not going to assume anything. You got to hit me up and you got to ask me something like that. That's a big deal.
Like I'm saying,
Even like people like popping by my house unannounced.
I don't even want you to drive by.
Don't even look me up on Google Maps.
None of that.
Okay?
No.
None.
I mean, I would assume if somebody is, like you said, assuming that they're going to stay with me without asking me, that they're a really close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But on, I also assume if you're a really close friend of mine, you would know that I ain't going to go for this.
Right?
So for me, you got to ask your friend. I mean, this would be a no-brainer for me. I would go immediately to my friend and be like, this is what I heard. What's really going on? And what do we need to do to get you out of this situation?
Yeah. And if I had a friend, this is like a best friend that was in a dire situation with the kids. Yeah, you can stay with me for a couple weeks. That's what friends do. A couple weeks, not a couple months.
Right.
Oh, I'm not asking the friend. I'm taking this time to divert, to create some kind of situation that's going to make it easy for me to not have to lie, but also keep them out of my apartment. Because I can tell that you feel like this person is waving their flag of entitlement of like, oh, of course I'm just going to stay with her. I'm getting the sense that this person's a little difficult, maybe doesn't have a lot of other friends, and maybe you're a people pleaser type of person, and you really want to make, and you are maybe the only person that can typically handle this kind of person because you're such a people pleaser. So if I were you, I would start making plans for people to come stay with you for weekends and weeks so that when they eventually do have to come to you, because I'm assuming they're not just going to come to your doorstep, you can go, oh, you can't. Sorry, my mom's staying with me for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've got about a handful of people that could just assume they were staying with me without asking me before telling a couple of other friends.
I'm letting you all know right now, don't assume that.
Ever.
You better be asking me.
You better be my parents, and even then.
The Bert Show.
Abby is annoying herself because she has ironclad dating rules. But you know what can make you break those dating rules? The alcohol. And that's what happened to Abby.
Yeah, I broke a rule this weekend that I have not touched since college. And that rule is that once a drop of alcohol touches my lips, I do not allow myself to drunk message men who are not in a relationship with me.
Oh, what's the fun in that?
It's such a great idea, though. Aren't people like toying with the idea? Or maybe there was an app or a device that you could do this, that you would blow into like a breathalyzer for your phone and it would immediately lock if it was at a certain blood alcohol level. I think it would be brilliant if it hasn't been done already.
Facts.
That's what I need. But the year of our Lord 2016 is the year that I decided to put that part of my life to bed, where I was going to stop drunk texting boys. This is also the reason I don't touch vodka anymore, because one night during my crazy party girl phase in college, which was my sophomore year, I had like a fat crush on one of my brother's best friends. And I decided one night to just confess my love to him over text, because why not?
Yeah, sure.
And I was so humiliated about what I had done that I decided to hyperbolize how drunk I got. So he knew that I was not only very inebriated, but also in danger. I said, oh God, I don't know why I said that. I was so drunk. I actually ended up at the hospital last night, which is all fun and games until your brother and your mom are texting you. Hey, are you at Shan's right now?
Okay. Wow.
And I was just so humiliated that I had to cover up with such a dumb lie, because obviously there was no hospital bill. So then I lied and I told my brother, which to this day, I think he still believes. I was like, oh yeah, I went to the hospital, but I just threw up in the bathroom, but I didn't get admitted. But blah, 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 blah. But it was basically just this elaborate lie to make me look less crazy to this man who thought I was crazy anyway. So this weekend, one of my friends invited me to go to this wine festival downtown. She's not going to be here for my birthday. So she's like, let's do something that you want to do. Let's do something fun. And we ended up getting these tickets that were around like $60. It was a little pricey for this wine fest. And we go there and we find out it's $60 because it's all you can drink. And I'm thinking, $60, I am getting my money's worth because this was a little crazy. So we're tossing back Sauvignon Blanc and Rosé all day. And finally, I have to go up for Bert's birthday party this weekend. And I hop in the back of an Uber, which is about 35 minutes long, which is about 34 minutes too long, considering the activities that took place in the back of said Uber. And
it gives you a little time to sober up before getting to a party where you're going to drink more.
No, I got progressively drunker the longer I was in that Uber, because I also get really bad car sickness, which makes me feel drunker. So I'm in the back of this Uber and I'm tapping through all my Instagram stories. And this guy that I've followed for a little bit pops up. And I've always thought about DMing him because we work in the same field. I really like his content. So there's a level of like respect and kind of like, oh, like this guy kind of has it going on. And he sometimes comes through our city and I've always thought maybe I should DM him. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm just going to DM him.
Sure.
And so I end up sending him like this long paragraph that I have not read since I was inebriated because I don't want to read it sober because who knows what it said. I think it said something like, I know this is random, but I really like your content and I think you're illegal. And then I get to Bert's birthday party and I totally forgot that I had sent the message. And I'm standing there with a couple of our friends and I go, oh my God, he responded. And I couldn't read it. That's how embarrassed I was. So I passed it to Sarah, who's one of our Bert's Big Adventure photographers. And I said, can you read it? And I think Sarah was drunker than me. So she's like reading it. And she's like, he said, thank you, Abby. And I'm looking over her shoulder and I can see that my paragraph is like 7 stanzas long and his is about 2.5. And I'm like, oh God, this man, I just sent this man a drunk text at 3 p.m. on a Saturday. He is probably dead ass sober. Also, I know he's working right now because that's why I messaged him. And I just am so humiliated that I did this because it's something I haven't done in years.
And it's a very good rule to live by.
It is.
So this was the exchange I was talking about yesterday where it just started with her and Sarah, but then it got so intriguing that 8 of us were around Abby advising her on exactly what he was trying to say. Was her response bad? Oh. Was it good? You didn't say anything. You just hearted him. You shouldn't have done that. You should have given him some words. So we're trying to figure out what the next follow-up. I mean, we were breaking out into discussion groups at this party.
You guys were Abby's dating cabinet. Everybody knew the dating cabinet.
Yeah. Yep.
I had the VP, the president, the writing staff all there. And I think I did the right thing. So I could kind of catch a vibe that this guy was very caught off guard by my long... It was so long. It was like... I think like 3 paragraphs and he just
what did you say?
It wasn't even bad.
I blocked it out, Kristen, because I'm sure there were typos. Anyway, it was just me being like, you're so great. And then he said something like, thank you so much. That is very kind of you.
Wait. He said thank you for all. So you just showered him a compliment.
Yes.
And he responded and said thank you, but did not reciprocate any compliments.
He said something like, I said something because he followed me first and that's why I follow him. And so I said something, which he might not even follow me now, which makes it even more embarrassing, is I was like, oh, it's so cool. I've been following you for a while and you've been following me too. And he said something like, it's been cool to follow your journey too, or something like that.
All right, so here we're doing the exact same thing now that we did at the party.
Uh-huh.
So when I read it, the problem here in this particular case is that we're all in media, so we have responded to people before, and we have to be nice. I mean, we're nice people, but these essentially are listeners are our clients, quote unquote, you know? So was he being nice as a professional, or was he interested? And the way that he had worded it, there were some questions and we just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. And to me, if you have to ask yourself, is he into me? It's usually no.
Yeah.
So I took it as professionalism. So I'm like, I am embarrassed that I've sent this. So I'm just going to end the conversation now. And I double tapped it. So that's what I decided was the best course of action for this conversation.
I think in going through it in my head right now, later on in the show, we should ask people to call and make you feel better about your situation by the terrible drunk texts that they have sent to people that they were interested
Please
in.
Please do. Okay. But I don't know if you can beat, hey, I went to the hospital. I was so drunk. Guys, I'm not actually in love with you.
That is up there.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
The Bert Show.
All right, let's get to Evie now. She thinks her brother might be cheating on his girlfriend, and she wants our help to find out for sure. And maybe we'll do a Tinder takedown here. Hey, Evie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, give us the deets on your brother, his girlfriend. I'm assuming that you're very close to the girlfriend, and that's why you want to see if he's doing anything shady?
Yeah, We're good friends. We're not like, you know, childhood best friends, but we are good friends. And I thought my brother had outgrown his player phase, you know, because he's 3 years younger and he's very charming, objectively, not in a weird way, good looking, like handsome. I've heard it from enough friends to know, like, okay. And I thought, okay, like, maybe I can set him up with my friend Bethany and they'll hit it off because they're both good people. Like my brother's a good person, but she's been telling me that he bailed on her for a couple of dates now, and I'm very nervous that I made a huge mistake in setting them up.
Ooh. So is there any other indicators that you think he might have, like, slipped back into his F-boy phase?
No, I mean, like, other than, like, you know, being a little distant and, like, bailing on dates. Like, I've seen my brother in one committed relationship before. And, like, when he's into somebody, he's into them. And he's always available. And now it seems like he's not.
How old is
and,
he?
He's 26.
Yeah, he's still in that phase.
As somebody who is 26 and dating a lot of 26-year-olds, I can confirm he's probably still in that phase. So how long have they been going out?
Isn't your brain developed?
Yeah, he's still got another year.
Yeah, mine finally happened about, like, a week and a half ago.
I'm currently pending.
Application pending. You're almost downloaded. That little wheel is like, oh, it's so close.
Start getting slower at the end.
It gets real slow at the end.
I don't know what the question
is. Maybe you just need a system upgrade.
Evie,
how long have your brother and this chick been going out for? I mean, like, is this like a relationship? Are they just starting to date? Like, what's the status here?
I know they were talking for a long time before they went official. Like, I think they've only been exclusive for like 2 to 3 months.
Okay, so they've defined the relationship.
Have you thought of going to your brother first and having a stand-up conversation with him about what's really going on before you implode the relationship?
No, for sure. But I don't know. He's also, like, he thinks, like, I nag too much and that I don't believe in him, which is like a whole separate issue. It, like, has nothing to do with relationships, especially one with my friend. But I don't want to, I love my brother. Like, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I also don't want to see my friend, like, get increasingly more attached only to get burned.
Did you forget your question?
I did.
Okay. I got one in the chamber ready to go.
I had a really good one too.
I got one in the chamber.
And then my brain went somewhere else.
That little wheel still spinning.
Yeah. Apparently I'm still pending too.
That was a hell of a party Saturday. Here we are on Tuesday, man. We're all still recovering. Evie.
Oh, I remember what it is.
Okay, go for it.
better late than never. Right? That's the story of my life. All right. So Evie, if you do find out information and it is bad that he is cheating on Bethany, what are you going to do with it?
No, for sure. Then he, like, I'm going to go full big sister and, like, you have to break up with her. Like, okay. This is my friend. Like, it's not like someone I'm never going to see again. Like, you can't mess around with her feelings.
All right. Well, this could be disastrous. First of all, I will say this is that give yourself a little bit of grace. Everybody comes, and when you develop a relationship, you build a character resume, right? And your brother has been an F-boy, like you said, this entire time. So his brand with you and probably the rest of your friends also is F-boy, right? So give yourself a little grace there. But I think Kristen is right. Like, if when we do this, or actually we've already done it, when you present this to him, A, he's just going to deny it. Or B, he's going to say, stay out of my life. I just don't know what good can come out of it.
Yeah. No, I hear what you guys are saying. I don't know. It's not like I'm obsessed with being matchmaker. I just thought they were so cute.
I know. And I know you want to look out for her and her feelings. And I know you want your brother to be better. If that is even the case. But just to let you know, we did do our Tinder takedown, and I had to get very persistent.
Okay. All right, so
You guys will tell you, I was extra. We went over the top. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
So you found this guy on Tinder?
Yes, we did.
And then sort of started catfishing him?
Maybe.
Okay. Just to find out if he would take the bait or not.
Maybe.
All right. So we got results for you, Evie. At that point, you'll have to figure out exactly what to do with the results, but we can give them to you here in just a couple of minutes. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Hang tight.
The Bird Show.
Evie hit us up, and she said she wanted our help to figure out what's going on with her brother, right? Her brother is, what, 26, 27 years old? Up until this point, he sort of has been a quote-unquote F-boy, right?
But she's seen maturity. She's seen him change his ways.
But sure. But she doesn't quite believe her eyes because he's in a relationship now with a girl that she really, really likes a lot. And there have just been a couple of different indicators that, man, maybe he's back to being, you know, maybe he's a recovering F-boy. And from time to time, you slip up.
Yeah, you relapse.
You relapse.
Back to your F-boy ways.
Right.
Yeah, so Evie set up her brother with this friend of hers. This is a friend of hers. It's a good friend. And she thought they'd be a good match, and they were. They've been going out for about 2 months. But now she's noticed that he doesn't talk to her about Evie as much. He doesn't talk to Evie, his sister, about Bethany, who he's going out with, as much. And then apparently he's canceled some of his plans with Bethany over the last couple of weeks. And so it just has a red flag up, and she's like, ugh, is my brother back to doing what he was doing before?
Maybe there's nothing to worry about, though, but we have some results for because we tested this dude. Evie, you still there?
I am.
All right. Kristen, you want to take it from here? Because yes. Was this you or was this your friend that did the quote-unquote Tinder takedown?
Well, friends.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to get an army.
Backup?
In order to win the battle.
Sometimes you have to what?
You have to build an army in order to win the battle.
No.
So, Evie, you gave me your brother's stats, his name, his age, his locations, or his location. And I had my friend change her location on Tinder, and she started swiping. And she did come across your brother.
No.
And swiped right.
You're nervous.
Well, I'm sad because I want to have hope. As somebody who's dating 26-year-olds, I want to have hope that they're good.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
As setting yourself up for disappointment.
I'm going to ask you to set your bar real low right now.
Well, it's already in hell, so let me get a shovel real quick.
All right, so Evie, she swiped right on him. He also swiped right on her for a match, meaning he's currently active on Tinder, all right? Now, friend number one waited all day, and he never made a move.
All right, question before we even move on.
Yeah.
We've covered this before. If you're super serious about somebody and you're dating, you shouldn't be on Tinder, shouldn't be activated at all, correct?
100%. You should not be on the apps.
Okay. However, Mo has said before also that he's not even in his like radar sometimes. He's dating somebody, but he didn't delete the app, but you're not active on it.
Not active. You wouldn't be swiping and getting matches if you weren't active.
Okay.
All right, so she waited all day after they matched, and he never made a move. So he never messaged her. Obviously, we have an agenda here.
Good, right?
Yes.
Mostly.
Somewhat.
So, but we have an agenda here. So she reached out to him. He never responded to her, okay? I didn't feel like that gave us a lot of closure here. So I enlisted friend number two, who is single and has Tinder. Gave her all the information. She found Evie's brother. She swiped right on the brother. He also swiped right on her. And because of what happened with friend number one, she went ahead and immediately messaged him. We weren't going to wait for him to try to make a move. He never responded.
Interesting.
So, not one to give up.
No.
I have one more friend who is single and has Tinder downloaded on her phone, right?
So I need to just ask him at some point. It's getting exhausting. Are you or are you not an F-boy?
Whatever. It's like, you know, sometimes you just, hey, you got to commit to the bit, baby. So it was late last night, but friend number three, she went on there, gave her the picture and his stats. Evie, friend number three also found your brother. Swipe right. He swiped right on her.
He's swiping right on everybody.
She messaged him, and he never responded.
Oh, okay.
So it's the chase.
So what does this mean? And I have so many questions. So these are my questions I have. Is he just looking for a confidence boost by having women swipe on him? Is this considered F-boy behavior? Why swipe right if you aren't going to communicate? Is this considered infidelity? Does Evie need to say something to him?
All right, let's chew on these.
So if they've only been exclusive for a couple of months, which is what you said, Evie, it's been like, what, 2 months where they DTR'd?
Yeah.
So if he was on Tinder and was swiping a couple months ago and your friends had popped up, if he had swiped right, like if they found him now and swiped right, like it would still show as a match, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he matched with them recently. So he may still have his account just kind of active, like, oh, it's sitting on my phone because I've only been dating this girl for 2 months. But he might not be on it actively seeking somebody.
Sidebar. Quick Google search, Mo, because you and I were confused.
Yes, sir.
DTR is to find the relationship.
Oh, y'all
got
know.
It. Okay, thank you.
Carry on.
Welcome to class.
Yep.
But here, Boomers.
One of these girls is in Florida, and she actively changed her location to try to match. So it's a recent match. These haven't been sitting. Like, that friend in Florida changed her location to try to find him, and she did. Sorry to bust your theory, but.
Dang. This sounds like a total ego play on his part. Like, he's not doing anything with it, but he still wants to know. It's definitely a sign of immaturity, for sure. But is it possible that he still likes the chase, even though he's in this committed relationship? He likes the ego. He likes the dopamine hit of swiping right, having people swipe right on him, but he does nothing with it because he doesn't want to totally cross a line.
It's given for me like the old just want to keep one foot in the pool just in case.
Yes.
Like, you know, like he still kind of wants to know what's out there, what he could possibly be missing out on, but he doesn't necessarily want to mess up things with what he's got going.
But I feel like that's screwing over both the women on both sides. Like the ones on Tinder, he's just swiping and he has no...
Yes.
Like, has no desire to communicate. And then poor Bethany over here, like, do we consider this infidelity?
Yes, you need to have Tinder integrity. And he certainly does not have Tinder integrity.
The old TI.
You're going to swipe right, you better have some, like, intention behind it.
I don't think anybody's used the word integrity and Tinder in the same sentence.
So I don't know what to do with that, Evie.
I don't either, Evie, but that's all we got.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show he's not super serious about Bethany, and it may just be because he's not in that place in his life yet. Yeah. Like, maybe he's not going to cheat on her, but I don't get the sense that he's ready to settle down.
I feel like he's a recovering F-boy, and rather than, like, if you're addicted to something, he's going back and just sampling a little bit, but he's not going all the way. But it indicates to me that if something really came his way that he was interested in, he would go back to his old F-boy ways.
I agree. Like, he may genuinely be trying to level up out of that, but he's clearly not fully there yet.
He's got some work to do.
Okay, Evie?
I just have a quick question, because, like, I was never on Tinder. I'm married to my high school sweetheart.
Must be
nice. Sometimes. Do some people treat Tinder like Instagram, where you just do it when you're
boredom?
You know, on the toilet or something? Like, yeah, when you're bored.
Is it a toilet hobby?
Not if you're not actively seeking the merchandise.
Yeah, there are many other things to do on the toilet, like poop.
or scroll through actual Instagram.
He's crapping on a lot of women right now.
Indeed he is.
Yes, he is.
Indeed he is.
The Burt Show.
Thank you for listening to The Burt Show. If you liked what you heard, then go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. If you didn't like it, well, that means you need to listen better. And give us a 5-star rating anyway.
I am very aware right now that by the end of this segment, I may sound like a judgmental douchebag.
But I am what I am.
Oh, look at you learning to embrace yourself and all your flaws.
Accountability.
A lot of self-love.
Yes, sir.
All right, so look, first of all, let me premise this by saying that if I didn't have the radio to help me date, I'm guessing I'd still be a virgin. Okay? Right? The radio has put a couple of inches on me. Right?
Put a couple of zeros in your bank account.
Yeah. So I realize, like, if I walk into a bar, my situation as far as dating goes over the long haul would not be... I have been very privileged because of this job. So recently, I have gotten more DMs from people saying, hey, if you ever want to go have a drink, love to have a drink with you. And that's when I say, hey, I'm not ready for all that, but hey, thanks so much. But in all honesty, a woman says to me, hey, I'd like to have a drink with you. I might be checking out her profile first. Just to see what's out there. All right, just to see what's out there. Here's where the perhaps judgmental part comes in. And I want to ask women what it says to you about other women. Okay, Cass, will you grab a mic also? Oh, you are all women. If a woman has nothing, if she's attractive and has nothing but really made up super hot friends, there's not one average looking friend she has. They are all over the top hot. What does it say to a woman about another woman that only has friends or only posts pictures of her and her hot friend.
That she's hot
and has hot friends?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Nothing else to you?
No. The only thing I would say is if I check like an Instagram profile and she's hot and all her friends are hot and they all look like influencer hot and she's got like 10 total, it's a scam. That's the only thing. But otherwise, like, hot people hang out with hot people.
First of all, I'm not going to believe they're scams. My ego can't take that. No, these are real people, and it's not influencer type deal, but I certainly have noticed. First of all, it's off-putting to me, to be honest with you. I don't know if it says that there feels like a level of superficiality that you would only surround yourself with women that are as equally hot as you, or you will only post them. So maybe I'm looking too far into it, and maybe it's a dude's perspective different from a woman's perspective.
But that's assuming that they have unhot friends that they aren't posting.
There are none on their... Let's go down this road. If I'm one of their friends and I'm not as hot as the other and she's posting a ton of pictures, but I'm never in them,
yes,
then I'm offended.
You should be. That's what I'm saying. You're making the assumption that this person has unhot friends. If I'm looking at your feed, I'm assuming those are your friends and those are your friends. Now, if I know you and know you have other friends who aren't as hot and you never post them, well, then, yeah, that's sus. But otherwise, that's just your life and that's just who you hang out with.
That's equally off-putting to me. If you have average-looking friends that you just won't post because you're trying to present this beautiful world, that's equally off-putting.
That's what I'm saying. If you have average friends that you don't post, that is jacked up. If you just have hot friends... Then that's all you can post.
I do think there are men who believe. I think I understand what Bird is saying, because I've been on like vacations and I've jokingly said to like a group of really beautiful women, like, oh, so I just don't do ugly friends, huh? And they'll kind of laugh as if maybe there's this unsaid thing where you would prefer that all of the women in your friend group are just like a certain level of hot, because it adds, I guess, to the ambiance of the friend group.
Let me get phone number out if you guys want to get in on this, because I might be way off base here, but I do find it off-putting. 1-855-BIRCHO.
What does it say?
That they're very superficial.
But why are hot people superficial?
And they only because there is literally no average, they have no average-looking friends at all. It almost says to me that either you're consciously or subconsciously trying to surround yourself with really beautiful people, and it feels fake to me.
So you feel like if you organically make friends, typically at least one out of the five are not going to be.
It doesn't feel real to me if there's nobody in the picture that doesn't look like a regular person and they're all super hot. If that's what you're doing with your social media, at least for me, I find it off-putting. I don't find it genuine at all.
I like that y'all are like, oh, they're like Pokemon. You got to catch the Fuggo female for you to be legit.
Don't say y'all.
This is tokenism, okay?
I think it can come down to sometimes, too, though, like similar values. So if you think of like, I'm going to be very stereotypical and generic here, a Southern sorority, right? And everyone's all dressed up and looking super beautiful and cute. Like, that's how they meet their friends. So that's who they hang out with. Like, you wouldn't judge someone who's normal looking for only having normal looking friends or not a super hot friend. And they may be, you know, Botox.
I would, actually.
Would you?
If they're a normal looking woman and they surround themselves with normal looking women, I would find that as a turn on.
Yeah, but I'm saying we wouldn't look and be like, oh, you don't have any hot friends. Like, I'm judging you for being judgy of hot people. I think it's like also there are interests, like to be stereotypically super hot, like what you think of in the magazines. You're usually like into the gym. You may do Botox. You may do cosmetic procedures. You're probably going to get your nails done. You may get hair extensions. And I'm not saying you have to do those things, but that also costs a lot of money. And some people are interested in that and some aren't. Some are middle of the road. But I'm saying like you may just have a group of friends who are all really into the same thing. And that's you have a shared background and shared interests. And that's why you're all friends.
Yeah, I think like just attracts like with the sorority thing. Like I joined a sorority where a lot of people just kind of looked like me, but that's because we were all had similar interests or came from similar backgrounds, and you're just naturally drawn to those type of people.
Good morning, Brittany. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I thought the exact same thing you did. Like as soon as you said that superficial, it's just seemingly like it's a little much. It is off-putting. Like there's no group. I don't know any super, super hot girls that hang out in groups of like 10 and 20. Seems weird.
All right.
Y'all be nice. For the record, it's hard for Brittany's hot people.
Yeah, I know. I can't possibly understand your plight.
No, the struggle is real.
Annabelle, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hi. So I think that I would consider myself an average person, average-looking person. And if there are hot people around, I'm not going out of my way to try to be friends with them. Like, I'm kind of intimidated. So I think some of it can come down to insecurity. And, like, if you don't think of yourself as hot, then you don't gravitate towards hot people.
So now it's not the hot person's fault because the normies are intimidated and don't want to be their friends.
Oh, that could be it, too.
The normies.
The normies.
Justice for hot people. You're misunderstood.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I am disappointed. I am disappointed that Kristen's enthusiasm does not match mine for today.
I'm excited.
Are you?
You're over the top excited. I told you the reason why I'm trying to maintain a level of chill is because if I get overly excited, I'll bomb the interview.
Usher.
That's my MO.
Usher is coming in studio today,
yes,
this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and he's taking over Q99.7. And I've met Usher before. He's been in here a couple of different times. We know each other. And I'm so incredibly excited again. I'm trying to figure out why, but I am pumped. It's like the only thing on my mind.
I'm excited for you. But if I get to that state, I am going to butcher the interview. So I have to maintain a level of composure here.
This is well known on my podcast. I talk about it all the time. I'm not excited at all. My girl is in love with Usher and has been our entire relationship.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to be in the same room with this man at all. This was not a goal of mine.
You've got to tell him that. And if you don't, I will.
I'll tell him. I plan on it.
This is her get.
Yeah. No, I went home and told her, and I thought she would be wise enough to, like, kind of dumb down her excitement.
Yeah.
But no, it seeped out.
She couldn't hide it.
No, she couldn't find it at all. I'm like, all right, here we go.
She doubled down.
She did.
Okay. Yeah. So if you got an attitude and he's in here and he's picking up on it, you're just going to have to be honest with
him. I'm
going
to have to tell him straight up.
Kristen does raise a really interesting point. And, yeah, come interview time, I'll be professional, Burt Show Burt, if he exists. But right now, thinking about it,
you're getting
having a star of that magnitude. And the thing that I love about talking to the Ushers of the world, the J-Lo's of the world, the Mariah Carey's of the world, when we've had a chance to do that, is it's so infrequent that you get to really try to pick the brain and soul of somebody that could be considered one of the best of all time.
Yeah, we're going to get to talk to the GOAT. And I can't wait to hear about his experience on the Super Bowl. Like, that's for me, like, what I'm most invested in. Like, what is it like to be on that kind of stage and that kind of magnitude with so many people watching you? Like, you can perform your entire life and it be a normal thing at, like, an arena. But then for you to, like, level up at this stage in your career, like, woo, I'm getting chills thinking about it.
But you got in my head because you said that he sometimes runs late.
Now, again, my experience with Usher is from 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But at that time, he had a reputation of he was on Usher time.
Whereas Ludacris, you said, was always like 5 minutes early.
Always. We used to Ludacris would call on time or early, my first thing that I would say to him every time was, you realize you're Ludacris, right? Like, you should be late.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
You're ruining your reputation, man. You're a huge star. You've got like half an hour.
Don't be prompt.
So I don't know if he's going to be here at 1. That's what the schedule says. But if I was a betting man,
okay
I'd say 1:30. Here's the cool thing for you guys listening also, is that if you really love Usher, is that we're going to be giving a cash away during this interview also, which is the first time I think Q99.7 has ever done that. It's not like you guys really need incentive to listen to Usher, but we're going to give you cash anyway. And now I understand why they're giving you money to spend at his shows, because we are giving you tickets like every 10 minutes to one of his 98 sold-out shows in Atlanta. How many are there?
Six. Sure.
There's six, right?
Yeah.
Six sold-out shows. I want to ask him about that, too. I want to ask him about that. So, like, when the tickets go on sale, do they build in potential dates and think, okay, if it sells out quick...
They have to.
I don't know how it works.
You would have to. In order to be able to do that, to accommodate your schedule.
Like, but six of them? Like, I could see you going, okay, if it sells out, then we'll add a date.
Right.
Or at the very max, we'll add three dates. But six of them? You have to pre-plan for six of them?
That is a lot of confidence.
I also want to ask him, and he's a very personal, a very private guy, I should say. So when you ask him personal questions, it can get a little bit dicey. Trust me on this one. But I would really like to know, didn't he get married the same night that he did the Super Bowl halftime show?
And that's my question.
No. I just claimed it.
Okay. So what, because I want to ask him, like, okay, you know, whose idea was it to get married in Vegas? Is that something you bring to the table, or is that something your wife brings to the table? Like, who was the one that suggested, after you perform at the Super Bowl and have one of the biggest performances of your career, let's hop over to a wedding chapel in Vegas and get married?
Okay, you ask that one, and then I'm going to ask him if it was spontaneous or not. Like, Were they even thinking about it, or was he just, like, on this adrenaline high, and he's like, you know what? This is one of the greatest nights of my life, and damn it, it's not going to stop. We're going to get married!
That'd be a great story.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it'll be Usher today. He's always a really good interview, if I don't get on his bad side. He's always a great interview. So much to talk to him about. I realized yesterday that anytime I travel internationally, I always make the note to myself that, oh my God, the influence of Atlanta's music around the world is undeniable. Because no matter where I am, I will hear an Outkast, or specifically, I will hear an Usher song, and it doesn't matter what corner of the earth that you are on. He's had that kind of impact on the music industry.
He's a legend, man. I mean, his career has spanned for so long. He's been great for so long. He's accomplished so much. Like, it's very interesting to find out, like you said earlier, what the mindset is and the habits are of people who are in the position that he's in to be that great for that long and to make yourself a true icon. It's impressive.
All right, Usher today, flexible 1 o'clock. We got money for you guys, and we've got tickets to one of his 6 sold out shows in Atlanta. Should all happen today, starting at 1 o'clock on Q99.7. All right, so we didn't talk about this yesterday, but you got to tell us about this drive-by in your neighborhood.
I completely forgot to tell you guys that we had a drive-by shooting in my neighborhood. So it actually happened Easter morning. So that Easter Sunday, I'm not kidding you.
Not on the Lord's Day.
What?
Yes, it was on Easter Sunday. And we were not in town.
Dang.
Romeo was dog sitting at our house and house sitting. And he was the one at the house when there was a drive-by shooting. Wow.
He has risen and he heard gunshots and went right back in.
No, not today.
Not today.
Can I wait till Monday?
Let me sleep on it.
A 4th day would be more impressive.
He and the dogs slept through it. Like, they didn't even hear it. But here's what's crazy. So the drive-by shooting happened the street behind my house, all right? So there's 2 streets that run parallel. So the house behind our house was the one that was shot at, meaning shots were coming towards our house and our neighbor's house, right? And so, of course, the next day, Easter Sunday, Bart's getting all these text messages. Our neighborhood is popping off on the neighborhood Facebook page. And sure enough, there was a drive-by shooting.
Do we want to say what neighborhood this is?
No, absolutely. I don't know.
Because we have before.
Where I live?
We've said what?
Oh, Buckhead. No.
I was going to give your address out?
Yes. I was like, I don't want to give my neighborhood. No, we can tell them what part of the city I live in. Sure. So yeah, we're in North Buckhead. And so I want to brace yourself, trigger warning, because neighbor had a Ring cam and caught the car flying down the street. And so I just want to brace yourself. You're going to hear some shots. Right?
Oh my gosh.
That's so
right.
That's a lot of shots.
That's a lot of shots. So what had happened was, this house has gotten turned into an Airbnb, and people were staying there and they were having a party, and they brought some girls back to the house, and one of the girls was trying to hit on a guy, and she got denied and she got pissed. So she had an ex-boyfriend come back to the house and shoot it up.
I have the police report. No.
That is insane.
Way.
Oh my God, tea. Yep.
Well, that's sobering.
Yep.
I'm not sure how to end this segment.
Glad you weren't home.
Yes.
Right?
Sorry, Romeo.
Sorry.
Get it. The Bert Show.